Countless salutations be upon the chosen one, the soul of mercy. Countless salutations be upon the divine candle of assembly of guidance.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'du fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear brothers in Islam and viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to another episode of our silsila Siratul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the life of the chosen one. Just to remind everyone of the topics that we covered in our last episode, we finished the account of Abraha and his army of elephants, and in our last episode we described how Allah Almighty sent the flocks of birds to punish the army of Abraha due to Abraha's intention of destroying the sacred Kaaba, and how the account of the people of the elephant and what happened to them affected the reputation of the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah, zadaha Allahu sharafan wa ta'zima, especially the Honorable Abdul Muttalib. And now the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah were looked upon with more respect and more esteem, and this account of divine aid that they received became very popular in the region. We also mentioned the father of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, namely the Honorable Abdullah, and how he was recognized by some of the Jews during his time, and he was recognized as being the father of the final prophet. And we touched upon how the people of the book, they knew about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and the signs of his arrival in great detail. In fact, the Quran describing their recognition and their knowledge as being more certain than the certainty that they may have when looking at their children, that when it came to the signs of the final prophet or the signs related to his arrival, they were very sure due to what they had inherited in their scriptures. We also mentioned the position of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah regarding the opinion that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, in terms of his lineage, has a lineage of honor, a lineage full of believers leading up to Sayyiduna Ismail alayhi salam, and all members of his lineage, and from generation to generation, especially his honorable parents, they are believers. And we mentioned how the ulama, the scholars of hadith and great authorities have presented their analogies and presented evidences from the Quran and Sunnah to support this view. And towards the end we mentioned the Risala, or the booklet, which is part of the fatawa of the great Mujaddid Imam, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman. And it was mentioned how towards the end, near the end, not quite right at the end, how the Imam mentioned a list of 30 plus scholars who hold the opinion that the parents of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and his ancestors were all believers. And right at the top of that list is a name which may not be as common or may not be known to many people. I wanted to share this name with you of the great scholar that is mentioned and what the Imam writes next to his name. He mentions the very first name in that list is Imam Abu Hafs Umar bin Ahmad bin Shaheen. And what he writes about him is that this Imam wrote 313 books. And from amongst those 313 books, he wrote a tafsir which was 1,000 volumes, consisted of 1,000 volumes, a tafsir. And also he had a collection of hadith which consisted of 1,003 parts. So this is just an indication of the kind of scholarship and the kind of scholarly figures who held the opinion that we discussed in our last episode. What you may have noticed in my hand, obviously, is the flag. Usually the flags are on either side, and today this green flag is in my hand, and I will talk more about this as we continue in our episode. Before I continue with the next phase of the seerah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, I would like to share with you a benefit of sending blessings upon our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the narration that I would like to share with you today is mentioned in Sunan Nasa'i. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam once said to a man who prayed, he offered his prayer, he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he sent blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He expressed a supplication of blessing, or he read Durood Sharif salawat. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said to this man who did what? He prayed. He praised Allah, and then he sent salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He read Durood Sharif. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed him and said, supplicate, make dua, and your dua will be accepted. Ask and you will be given. Dear brothers in Islam and viewers of Madani channel, we are now moving on to a phase in our silsila which covers the prophetic birth, the blessed birth of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Just as the disappearing of stars and the gradually increasing brightness at dawn and the redness on the horizon are signs of the sun rising, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam did not arrive and was not born until some signs were seen in creation. Some of these signs can go back more than days, more than months before the birth of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. In fact, the signs leading up to the prophetic birth were a series of events, a chain of events which took place, and the people of the book were well aware of these events, and they were following closely what they observed in creation. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was blessed with a unique and miraculous birth. In fact, before his birth, there were signs within creation implying that something was about to happen. One famous example being that the palace of the Persian emperor, Kisra, it was hit by an earthquake, and there were tremors in the actual area. A fire that had been burning for 1,000 years, which was considered to be sacred to some of the Persians, because many of them would worship fire. That fire suddenly went out as if it were a normal flame. The idols that were in the Kaaba fell to the ground. Before the actual birth of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, it is mentioned in a risala that has been published by our Maktabatul Madina, the official publishing department of Dawat-e-Islami, namely Maktabatul Madina, the Urdu risala, which includes an account or some accounts before the birth of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The account of Abraha and his army of elephants is also considered to be one of the events leading up as a sign leading to the birth of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, the area of Arabia being blessed with rain, and also a valley and described as Samawa between Sham and Kufa, becoming full of water, which was previously dry. These changes in creation and these accounts which took place around the world were miraculous. And a term given to miraculous accounts that take place before a prophet announces his prophethood, the term that is used in Sharia is Irhas. Sadr al-Sharia Badr al-Tariqa Mufti Amjad al-Azami alayhi rahma, he mentions the terms that are used for miraculous accounts which take place for different people or on in different ways, in different situations. Irhas being a miraculous account or a miracle which takes place before a prophet announces his prophethood. And when such a miraculous account takes place after the announcement of prophethood, after he has declared himself to be a prophet to the people, then any such miracle would be described as mu'jiza. Also, we hear of miraculous events which take place due to the actions of the awliya, rahimahumullah. And if a waliullah performs a miraculous action, this is referred to as karama, or as we say in Urdu, karamat. A believer, a normal believer, if he was responsible for an action that seems to be abnormal or extraordinary to a certain extent, then his action would be described as ma'una. Sometimes a miraculous action is not only performed by people of truth or people or the prophets alayhim wasalam or the awliya. Something abnormal or something which may be considered to be extraordinary may be performed by someone who is not a believer, would be described in terms of the Sharia with the word istidraj. And sometimes a disbeliever would intend to perform something miraculous, but the opposite can happen, or the opposite has happened. And this was the case for the likes of Musaylama Kazzab. And if this is the case, then the term of the Sharia is ihana. So all these examples of the changes in creation and what happened at the Persian Emperor's palace, and what happened in the Kaaba, and what happened in the valley between Kufa and Sham, all these are examples of irhas, miraculous, extraordinary events taking place before our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam announced his prophethood. The extraordinary, miraculous events which took place before the birth of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam were a confirmation for people who had the knowledge regarding his birth and the signs of his arrival. And it also puts into perspective how Allah Almighty made it so that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam arrives in this world in a miraculous way, not just due to the moment of his birth, but even the moments leading up to his birth remind the entire creation that something is about to happen. Someone special is about to be born. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born in a miraculous way. His birth was such a birth that he was born pure. There was no element of impurity. In fact, his body was fragrant. Sayyida Amina radiyallahu ta'ala anha describes the birth of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and as recorded in prophetic, in hadith traditions, that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born, such a light came from her body that she was able to see the palaces in Busra, the palaces in Syria. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, he was born without an umbilical cord, with circumcised, and performed sajda moments after his birth. When the news of his birth spread, Suwayba, the slave girl of his uncle Abu Lahab, rushed to Abu Lahab to give him news that he had been blessed with a nephew. And when Abu Lahab received this news from his slave girl Suwayba, that a nephew was born in his family, out of happiness, with a gesture of his finger, he freed Suwayba. When Abu Lahab freed Suwayba, this moment became a moment of benefit for him in the afterlife. As mentioned in Sahih Bukhari, Abu Lahab freed Suwayba with a gesture. And after his death, as mentioned in Bukhari, he would reveal to one who sees him in a dream and asks him about his state in the afterlife. Abu Lahab would reveal that he received no respite in the afterlife except for some water from that very finger that he used to indicate and used as a gesture of freedom for Suwayba. Sheikh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlawi alayhi rahma mentions how Abu Lahab, who was a disbeliever, and the fact that he was a disbeliever is explicitly mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah. If he receives some benefit by freeing a slave girl with the emotion of being happy, the moment of the birth of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, then what will be the state of the reward that he receives? Meaning that for believers who choose to celebrate that moment of arrival of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, there is reward and barakah for them. When our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was born, Sayyida Amina radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she witnessed something amazing. And this account is mentioned in a famous booklet, Risala, published by the official publishing department of Dawat-e-Islami, namely Maktabatul Madina, the famous booklet or Risala about Milad, Mawlidun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and namely Subh-e Bahara in Urdu, and the English is the dawn of blessings. In this particular Risala, there is an account mentioned that Sayyidatuna Amina radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she saw that three flags were placed, one in the east, one in the west, and the third one was placed on the roof of the Kaaba itself at the time, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. So these flags were an indication, part of the sequence of events leading up to the birth of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, we know from the very same risala, right after that, in fact, there is the account of Burayda Aslami and the people of the tribe of Banu Saham, the 70 of them, who approached our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the intention of arresting him or capturing him as he made his way towards Madinatul Munawwara, near Madinatul Munawwara. And when they saw our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they began to admire him, and they basically fell in love with his way and his manner and his character, and they embraced Islam. And when they embraced Islam, they decided to welcome the arrival, to be part of the arrival of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam into Madinatul Munawwara, by taking off their turbans, the imamas that they had on. They took them off and they hung them on their spears, making flags. And they welcomed, or they were part of the procession with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam entering the enlightened city of Madinatul Munawwara. Coming back to the mention of flags, and obviously the fact that I have a flag in my hand as well, and we see flags when we see gatherings of celebration in terms of the birth of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. We see how flags were a theme as part of welcoming the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and actually directly related to his birth as well. In fact, the mention of a flag being placed on the roof of the Kaaba, according to some traditions, it was Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam, and as a poet has said, specifically, Ruhul Amine Gara Kaabe ki chhat par jhanda. Ruhul Amine Gara Kaabe ki chhat pe jhanda. Ta arsh uda pharera subhe shabe viladat. Ta arsh uda pharera subhe shabe viladat. So this flag is actually a symbol of the birth of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was born just under 2 months after the account of the people of the elephant. He was born on the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal, and the year that is mentioned is 571. He was born in the house of his father in Makkatul Mukarramah. And the very area of the prophetic birth, in terms of language, the description or the word or the expression used for the very area of the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is Mawlidun Nabi. The word Mawlid, it describes the very area of the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and it is also the word used to describe the time of the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And with time, with the celebration of that moment and of that theme, and with the expression of gratitude that the believers have expressed for centuries now in the rich history of Islam, Mawlidun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, or in Urdu Milad, became a form of remembering the life, and especially the accounts related to the birth of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. The action of commemorating his life and celebrating the day of his birth, considered by the ulama to be mustahab, an action that is praiseworthy, an action that is a means of barakah. The theme of Mawlid or Milad, is there any justification for this? What can we understand in terms of, in the context of Mawlidun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, when we look at the Quran and Sunnah? There are many ways of explaining this, or many ways of trying to remind others of the essence of Milad or the essence of Mawlid. In reality, this is an expression of gratitude for believers who are grateful in remembering that our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did a favor on us by sending us the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, by sending the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into this world. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this theme in the Quran. Allah says, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعْثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا. Allah has described the sending of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a favor upon the believers. And we are told in the Quran to publicize the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, And this theme is expressed by وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ, and publicize the favor of your Lord. We, as believers, should express our gratitude in a very public way for the mercy that we have received. And the favor that we have received is a favor that is incomparable, is a mercy that is incomparable in creation. A mercy that is not only for the believers, mercy personified in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a mercy for all the worlds, as Allah has described him to be. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, and we sent you not but as mercy for all the worlds. Allah has in the Quran told us to express happiness when we receive His mercy and His grace, as the famous verse which is quoted in this respect from Surah Yunus, where Allah Almighty says, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُ هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ, that say in terms of with the grace of Allah and His mercy, they should rejoice. فَلْيَفْرَحُ, this rejoicing is unspecified. If someone was to say that you can only rejoice by reading some hadith, or you can only rejoice by sending salawat, or you can only rejoice by behaving in a certain way, as long as the method of rejoicing is permissible in light of this verse of the Quran, one who is complying with the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and expressing happiness at receiving the mercy of Allah, the form of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. This rejoicing, whether you rejoice by putting flags out on your windows, whether you rejoice by lighting your homes. The irony is that the questions are not asked when there is lighting done for any other occasions of happiness. If there is a wedding going on, or if someone has succeeded in some element of dunya. But unfortunately, some people spread confusion and spread misconceptions about the manner of rejoicing in terms of the birth of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is entirely the choice of the believer how he chooses to rejoice, how he chooses to celebrate the birth of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And he is doing this for Allah has mentioned that the believers should express happiness when they receive His grace and with His mercy. Just further on in the same verse, هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ, this expression of happiness is better than the wealth that they amass. It's better than the money that they have. For them to express generosity in this regard is better than keeping and collecting the money that they have. So how a believer chooses to spend his money is his choice. So for someone to even question this action of expressing happiness at the birth of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not seem to make sense, especially when we have clear evidence from the Quran of how a believer should respond when receiving Allah's favor and mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then another thought comes to mind. Well, did our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam ever acknowledge his day of birth? You know, did he ever do anything which made believers realize that he thought about or commemorated the day he was born? And we know about the famous hadith in Sahih Muslim, where our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about his fasting on Monday. He was born on Monday. And when he was questioned about his fasting, he simply said that it was the day that I was born and the day in which I received revelation. A revelation was sent upon me. So our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam not only acknowledged the day, he also chose to fast on that day as a form of gratitude, to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as far as specifying days is concerned, we know from Surah Ma'idah, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, he made this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the day to become a day of Eid for the first of us and the last of us, as the verse of the Quran goes. And also, when our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, Ibn Hajar mentions this as a textual justification of Mawlidun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, an asl for Mawlidun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the day of Ashura, on the 10th of Muharram, he saw that the Jews were fasting. He asked them about their fasting, and they mentioned that it was the day that they were that the Bani Israel were freed from the clutches of Fir'aun. So this was a reason, the reason why they are fasting is to express gratitude and to commemorate that day. And our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam expressed, "We are closer to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam." Not only did he fast on that day, but it was his desire that the believers fast on that day and a day with it. And this is proven from Sahih traditions, to remember one of the days of Allah, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam when he said, وَذَكِّرْهُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ, and remind them of the days of Allah. Which days? Of the days of Allah. Imam Fakhruddin Razi alayhi rahmah said that the days of Allah are the days in which significant events took place. And which event, my dear brothers in Islam and viewers of Madani Channel, is more significant than the event of the birth of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, who is the best in creation? From the practice of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, we see three elements. One, that to celebrate a day or to commemorate a day of significance is his way, and he did it himself. Secondly, to specify a day is also a sunnah. So he specified he was fasting on Monday. And with the Ashura day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not reject the idea of specifying a day for celebration. And the third element being to perform an act of worship on that day is also from the sunnah. So all three things, to celebrate, to specify, and to perform an act of worship on that day. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose to fast on the day of his birth. Whether the ibadah is fasting, or whether it's more physical in terms of it's a different kind of ibadah, meaning spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to perform acts of worship on that day, is also considered to be a way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when we look at mention of the arrival of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is what Mawlidun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, then this, in this respect, is sunnah ilahiyya. This is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did. Allah mentions the coming, the arrival of his beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in gatherings of Milad, one of the main themes is this particular element about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, what happened leading up to his birth. In fact, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam he is mentioned in the Quran when he addresses the Bani Israel. He tells them about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. He describes himself as being mubashshiran bi rasulin ya'ti min ba'd ismuhu Ahmad. The words of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, that he is one who gives glad tidings of a Rasul, a messenger who would come after me, he says. His name will be Ahmad. And we know that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his name in the heavens is Ahmad. What has been mentioned so far are simply some examples of how we have verses in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the arrival of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or described him as being a mercy, or mentioned that the act of sending the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a favor upon the believers. There is an idea that some people have, which may confuse them at times, about how new actions or something which is new in religion is something that is negative, and anything new should not be introduced into the religion, etc., etc. And they follow this theme and can cause a bit of confusion for some believers. My dear brothers in Islam, there is a beautiful legal maxim, a beautiful rule that the fuqaha have mentioned, which is very easy for us to remember, and it's a good summary of how we can look at actions to decide, to understand how things are permissible or prohibited. And the usul is al-aslu fil ashya'i al-ibahatu, that the original state in everything, in things, is that they are permissible. An action or something only becomes prohibited when there is a prohibition from the Quran or Sunnah. There is a prohibited element mentioned in the religion. Otherwise, by default, actions and objects are considered to be permissible. Now, considering this, the reason why this legal rule is mentioned or quoted is because, looking at everything we have in this world, the things that have come after the time of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and all the things that will come, that will be invented until the Day of Judgment, how do we decide whether we can use these advances in technology, for example, or these new things in that affect our lives? Will they make us sinful if we use any of these things? And the simple answer is no, unless there is a prohibition. For example, today we go to Hajj. If we live far away, we go by plane. Traveling by air was not in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there is no explicit guidance given for this. We do many things today that we did not do in the time of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some people say that whatever is done in this world or related to this world, such an innovation is okay, and something which is within religion, that kind of innovation is bad. Well, people who say that simply don't understand the word innovation, or have completely closed their eyes to what has happened from the time of our Prophet ﷺ until now. For even in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as that hadith in Bukhari goes, where he saw the companions praying the Taraweeh prayer in congregation, he referred to it as a good innovation. So an innovation is not necessarily something which did not happen in the time of the Sahaba. It refers to something which did not happen in the time of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And we see Sayyidina Umar is observing a new action within the religion, but it doesn't go against the principles of the religion, so he says it's a good thing. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, again this is mentioned in Sahih Bukhari, how he told Sayyidina Zayd bin Thabit to compile, to collect the Qur'an. And Sayyidina Zayd said to him, should we do something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do? He expressed his concern. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr, he answered it rightly. He said, what we're doing is good, it's khair, it's a good action. So doing something good, even if it is, if it has not been directly ordered by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as long as it's a good way and it does not oppose the Sharia, it does not oppose the principles of the religion, no one has the authority to make it haram or to say that it is misguidance in any way. Such a person is in error. But when it comes to our religion, the Quran that we read today, in the 30 parts, the I'rab, the fatha, dhamma, kasra, kasra that we see on the Quran, the rukub, divisions in the Quran, the printing of the Quran, the way it's printed, and the form that we see it in, the science of usulul hadith. So the irony is that the person who is saying da'if, if he was to be asked, well, when were these terms of hadith classification, when did they come into existence? And with a little thought, he may be a bit embarrassed, because all this came after what we refer to as the Qurun Salasa, those three generations. Some people say that if it wasn't the time, whatever took place in the Qurun Salasa or those three generations, that is fine. Whatever happened, whatever happens after that is not. And again, with these examples that have been given so far, you cannot justify that. Another example which you can give is zakat that is given today with money made of paper having images printed on it. To give zakat with such an item, with such a thing, this did not happen in the time of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The way we perform, go to perform our Hajj, the whole visa process that we have these days, the institutes that we have, the sciences that we have within our institutes when we teach the Ulum Diniya, many of these sciences and many of these forms that were not described in the way they're described today. When we look at and consider the time of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Also the famous Sahih tradition that whoever, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever starts a good way, then he will get the reward for that, and the reward of all the people who follow that good way without their reward decreasing. And the same for an evil way or a bad way. So if someone or some people choose to gather and remember the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what do? They recite verses of the Quran, they praise him as Hassan, the likes of Sayyidina Hassan bin Thabit and other companions did. In the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they did this. And they received supplication from him. And they talk about, in these gatherings, they talk about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inspiring people, changing the lives of people, people who are drowned in negligence today, attending such gatherings and feeling moved and their hearts changing due to what they hear. Surely all the good within this gathering, whether it is described as new or whether it is described as something which was not done in such a way in the time of the earlier generations, cannot be described as prohibited. We, as believers, have a responsibility to gain knowledge and attain knowledge. And the problem that we have in society is it is very easy to criticize. It is very easy to question an action, but it takes a lot of explanation to remove the effects of a misconception. Now I would like to share with you an account which took place just after the birth of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But before I relate the account, I would like you to do something that you may and may not have done in this silsila before. I would like you to close your eyes. Close your eyes if you're at home, if it's safe for you to close your eyes, if you're not traveling anywhere, if you're able to, and focus and try to imagine, try to visualize the atmosphere, and try to focus on the words of the narration. Khatib Baghdadi, he narrates with his chain of transmission, and he mentions that Sayyida Amina, this is an account which is related by Sayyida Amina herself. She talks about the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that soon after his birth, she says that I saw a big cloud that was full of light, and from within this cloud there were sounds of the neighing of horses and the sound of birds flying, and some people speaking in different languages. Suddenly, a voice from the unseen said that take Muhammad to the east and the west of the world. Take him to the oceans so that the entire creation comes to know his name and his appearance and his attributes, and all living things, from the humans, the jinn, the angels, the birds, the beasts, they all come to know of him. Give him the form of Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam. Give him the insight of Sayyiduna Shaykh. Give him the bravery of Sayyiduna Nuh. Give him the friendship of Sayyiduna Ibrahim. Give him the tongue of Sayyiduna Ismail. Give him the pleasure of Sayyiduna Ishaq. Give him the eloquence of Sayyiduna Salih. Give him the wisdom of Sayyiduna Lut. Give him the glad tidings of Sayyiduna Ya'qub. Give him the intensity of Sayyiduna Musa. Give him the patience of Sayyiduna Ayyub. Give him the obedience of Sayyiduna Yunus. Give him the striving of Sayyiduna Yusha. Give him the voice of Sayyiduna Dawood. Give him the love of Sayyiduna Daniel. Give him the dignity of Sayyiduna Ilyas. Give him the innocence of Sayyiduna Yahya. Give him the asceticism of Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam. Adorn him, beautify him with all these wonderful qualities. Then the cloud disappeared, and I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wrapped in a green cloth of silk. Water was dripping from the cloth, and someone said, how wonderful, Muhammad has been given power over the whole world, and the entire creation is under his power, his obedience, his influence. Then I saw three people, one of them holding a vessel made of silver, one of them holding a vessel or container made of emerald, and one holding a shining ring. The ring was dipped in water or washed 7 times, and then a seal, a mark was made between the shoulder blades of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And then he was wrapped in clothing and given to me moments later. This was the account related by the honorable mother of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyida Amina radiyallahu ta'ala anha. We as believers remind each other of the miraculous birth of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Dear brothers in Islam and viewers of Madani channel, alhamdulillah, in this beautiful environment of Dawat Islami, not only do we commemorate and celebrate the birth and life of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, we are encouraged to follow his way, to serve the sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam through the activities of Dawat Islami, whether it's traveling on a Madani qafila, attending an ijtima of Dawat Islami, working in any department of Dawat Islami. The purpose is to serve Islam, and I invite you to come forward and join us in this effort of serving Islam, serving the sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And based on what we were reminded of in today's episode of our silsila, we choose to celebrate the life of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and make this a reminder for all the believers around us, and even those who are not part of Islam or followers of Islam. We make this a means of invitation, a means of a reminder for them also. And we hope that our good intentions will enable us to attain barakah and reward from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I would like to end with the beautiful couplets mentioned, written by our beloved Amir Dawat Islami, Amir Ahl Sunnat. He says, Jab talak ye chand tare jhil milate jayenge, jab talak ye chand tare جھل ملاتے جائیں گے، تب تلک چشنے ولادت ہم مناتے جائیں گے. کیپ واچنگ مدنی چینل. صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد.
Countless salutations be upon the chosen one, the soul of mercy. Countless salutations be upon the divine candle of assembly of guidance.